Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another exciting episode of Raw Islam. And I know for a fact that we have a very exciting show this evening, and I'm really looking forward to it. Before we get into tonight's show, I'm actually going to do something. I want to talk about something just for a brief second. And in talking about that, I'm gonna keep a graphic up on the screen every once in a while. It'll be here. So as some of you may have heard, and I'm bringing this up because it was close to me for multiple reasons. If some of you may have heard, and you may not care because it may not be in your social sphere, the lead singer of the band Linkin Park was found dead this morning. I know that seems like a really weird thing to talk about on Raw Islam with Imam Azhar, and I'm totally soapboxing right now and cutting him out. The reason I'm talking about this is because it was a suicide, and I know that, you know, my daughter who's 14 and she goes to school, and she had, you know, I think it was 3 or 4 kids in her school this year that had committed suicide. And I know, you know, we lost Chris Cornell a couple of months ago to suicide. I just want to soapbox for a quick second. And I just want to say that that's not really the answer. That life is never that bad, especially if you're a young kid, that there's help. And there's people you can talk to, and there's people in your support network. So don't ever think that you are completely alone, and don't think that that is the only option that you have in life, because it isn't. And with that being said, let me see if I can switch to the graphic here. There it is. So up in the corner there, occasionally throughout the evening, I'm going to have the National Suicide Prevention logo and phone number up in the corner. It should be right there. Ooh, pretty. So, you know, suicide isn't the answer. And it's not, it just leaves, you know, while it may seem like it solves your problems temporarily, it really creates more problems in the end, because people are left wondering what they could have done to help, or if something had gone wrong, or if they had only. Message us. You know, you can send us messages. I mean, I may be asleep, but I'll check them. But, you know, at minimum, call this number right here and talk to somebody, because suicide isn't the answer, and there's better ways to go about life. I have babbled on for 5 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, his show, Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. Please welcome Imam Azhar.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. The greetings be upon everyone who's listening. As for our listeners who listen on the podcast, I think it's important for us to inform you that in the last 3-4 shows, you may have heard about technical difficulties and some back and forth. Keep in mind now, what we've started doing is we are live streaming our podcast while we record it on Facebook Live, in addition to the audio that you will then hear on the podcast. I want to say that these are one of the few instances in my life where I'm kind of caught off guard. Carl and I kind of threw some thoughts back and forth today as to what the topic should be, because as you know, it's not like we have to really dig deep and excavate thought or a topic. Our world is blowing out of proportions with so many things happening, from the Aqsa Mosque crisis, from issues here at home where Confederate statues are being taken down and the great opposition to that. And of course, it could go on and on and on and on. But I want to touch on what Carl began, because I was totally caught off guard on this one.
Sorry about that.
no, and that's fine, because that's what this whole thing is about. Look, we call it Raw Islam. To all our listeners out there, Raw Islam has a greater meaning to the masses than it does to the Muslim community. Why do we title this segment or this podcast as Raw Islam? Because Islam in its essence, as I believe everything in its purity, in its essence, is innocent, it's beautiful, it's perfect. But over time, layers of different dynamics can overtake this, overtake what the true identity is. And over time, what would happen is something totally different in shape, size, and form will be representing what used to be something different. What I'm trying to say is Islam in its purity, in its originality, is innocent, it's pure, it's perfect. But what's happened is these layers, and amongst those layers is culture. Amongst those layers is the inability to see oneself. Amongst those layers is trying to see yourself through the lens of others. And that over time makes it easy for Islam to be misconstrued. And in this specific scenario and case where the Linkin Park singer Chester Bennington committed suicide at the age of 41, it goes an extra mile because it is also relevant with our topic of discussion. And that is, how can we peel off the stigma in society where people, even who are affluent and known and welcomed and recognized and idolized to some extent, still can't find a sense of belonging in the world that they live in? And so I think it's a good topic to talk about. And that's why, in addition to mental health counseling, mental health resources, and mental health coverage, we need to create a society that is aware that this thing exists. Carl, to me, it's like, you know, we're talking about health coverage, the continuous debate, which could be a soap opera up in Washington, D.C. And I want to personally say I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted by how it's so easy to talk a talk but not walk the walk. We all understand healthcare is important. We all understand the health and stability and sanity of each American can be very productive, while the illness, the mental health, the mental illness, and the physical sickness of a person can destabilize this country. So what we're trying to say nowadays with all these things coming around about healthcare is that healthcare will be about what we can see, basically, you know, what we can treat with stitches and surgery, but things that we can't see, mental health issues, emotional issues, hormone issues, whatever, there are things that are inside of us which are tucked away that cannot be identified by pointing on one's head or one's nose or one's knee, are things that we could say, you know what, coverage isn't needed. I can't tell you, Carl, how many cases that I'm dealing with, from marital cases to personal life issues, where I fear now we're going edge where these crises can become suicidal. And so my friends, you know, posted this morning, two, three of them, one of my close friends, Saud, also posted about this. And he stated, I'm going to read this. He said that, damn, we're losing too many good folks. When will we truly take mental health and wellness seriously? Depression, anxiety, and suicide is a real thing, folks. If you need help, get a counselor / therapist. So this is like, you know, people are crying now because he also worked with many people. He's also a community worker. And, you know, this is just the beginning of a discussion, Carl, that needs to happen. And that's why we need to reach out and try to peel away what's transpiring that is taking a person to the point that they can take their life. We already are concerned with an uptick of people doing some really stupid crimes out there and just killing someone for no reason. The question here is, that has become a norm in our society. Now, a level above that, take that up a notch, people are actually contemplating, strategizing, planning and executing on a plan to kill themselves. Carl, this is a disturbing state of affairs in the 21st century and one of the greatest countries ever to exist on the face of this earth. If we cannot say this is a problem, then when will we?
You are 100% right. And honestly, for me, it's so... I think from my point of view, and one of the things that I'm struggling with is, again, you know, I have a 14-year-old daughter who comes home and talks about, you know, or tells us about what happened in school with students in her class and things like that. But then you turn around and you look at the ages of these people. These kids are so young and they have so much life ahead of them. And then you get to the flip side of that, where you've got this guy from Linkin Park. And, you know, a couple of months before that, we had Chris Cornell. And Chris Cornell was in his 50s. This guy from Linkin Park was in his 40s. And in fact, from what I remember reading was that he's the same age as me. And it's like, you know, by the time you hit this age that I'm in, you should be in full stride. You should be ready to go. And you shouldn't be having those struggles. And you're 100% right that it does come down to healthcare. A lot of what we have done as a culture, and it's, I mean, for me, it's strictly American, maybe I'm wrong, but one of the large things that we've done is that somebody says, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I don't feel well. And our immediate reaction is, suck it up, buttercup. It's reality. Get back to work. But that's not real. Somebody really could have an issue. And we need to stop. And we need to stop the stigmatism and we need of mental health issues. And we need to make sure that people get the help they need when they need it.
But Carl, it's easy for us to discuss these things because maybe I'm not going through it, maybe you're not going through it. None of our listeners or people who are watching us right now can look at us, at our face, and tell us that this person is suffering from mental health issues. Matter of fact, most people, if not a high percentage of them, practically I would estimate in the 80s and plus, 80% plus people who are suffering with mental health issues, you will not see those signs on their face. Very few of them will actually come out and relate it to somebody. And that's after much contemplation and, you know, consideration. Is this even the best thing to do? Will the person that I'm opening up to even care about me? And the fear is on the side of a person who looks back at this when, God forbid, it is a suicide, is that, yeah, they approached me, but I never took it seriously. So there's three areas of focus that I would like to dedicate this podcast towards. Number one is, yes, this person committed suicide at the age of 41. It took him maybe 41 years. Well, let's be kind, 38 years after the age of 3 or 4, whatever the case was, for him to acknowledge a struggle and a battle and then to endure it thus far till this point. Like, he took it till the age of 41. There are kids in their teens. There are young adults in their 20s that are committing suicide. They are doing it through various ways. Remember, no one who is a drug addict or a crack addict is going to go about just injecting themselves or intaking more than they can handle. This is something that they do deliberately because they want it all to end. Remember, a person who goes and drinks at a bar every night knows that they can handle 2 or 3 bottles, but they're going to go the extra mile and they're going to throw in a few tequilas, whatever they're going to do, because you know what they want? They want an end to this all. A person who's driving knows that they should drive sober. This is going to get behind the wheel and go and kill himself, and in his path, maybe kill others. I want to relate a story here before I get to the three. There was a very close family friend of ours whose son I taught Quran, and I had the honor to be a part of their family, go to their house during the summer and teach both brothers, and very nice kid, you know, very nice youngster And he was just himself. He wasn't someone complicated. He wasn't from a complex nature that you had to kind of really dissect him to understand who he was. And he was studying at a university not too far from here. And the last he spoke to his mom was on Friday after the Friday prayer, telling her that, you know, mom, I went for the Juma prayer. I did my prayers and I'm doing well. And, you know, hope everything's good. I love you type of thing. It was a very, you know, cordial discussion, which parents have with their children. The following evening on a Saturday, late that night, him and a few friends went to downtown. They went to do some work. On their way back, they were going on, they were on the highway, following the speed limit on the right side of the highway, when a person approached them from the wrong side, driving on the wrong side of the same highway at a speed which surpassed 100. And according to the testimony of his girlfriend or wife, he was suicidal. So he left the house in a rampage that I'm going to go commit suicide. I'm going to go kill myself. Now, no one says I'm going to go commit suicide, so I'm going to go kill myself, right? And nowadays, when a person says I'm going to kill myself, it's like, okay, just be quiet. You know, as you said, suck it up, let it be. This guy left his house. He got onto the highway from the wrong direction, right? And he's going on the wrong direction. And this highway 275, which kind of crisscrosses, or kind of not crisscrosses, it crosses downtown Tampa and it moves all the way south, and it goes all the way north to St. Petersburg. When you're on that side, after you cross downtown going south, it's like hilly. So it's like going up and down. It's like a lot of, it's like a little, like a go-kart type of course type of thing. Keeps you awake. It's not like one of those straight long roads in Arizona. And what happened was, they were driving and they came up this one of the ramps, like one of the, they were up on our incline and they didn't see over. And this guy came. A lady who was driving on the right side, on the opposite side, took a video of this and said, what's going on? This guy's driving on the wrong side of the highway. And he kept on going until you saw his car collide with their car. He was one, they were four. There was two in the front seat, two in the back seat. And the entire accident became one big ball of fire. What we know is that his car couldn't be identified. His body was gone. It was ashes. And as for those three, four children that had died innocently because someone said, I'm going to go kill myself. We had four families who had been struck with this great tragedy that till this day, they're suffering the pain of that loss. So what I'm trying to get to here, fellow listeners, is mental health is serious. And that's why in Islam, and I'm not going to try to pitch a religion in here today, but I like the fact that we're discussing this on Raw Islam, because we want to strip the layers to help you and I identify where core problems exist and how we can empower ourselves to overcome them. But in religion, we believe that through our spirituality and our spiritual prescription, it helps us build a level of stamina and self-confidence that can help us get through the problems in our world today. Nevertheless, there are three things that we need to identify. Number one is embracing and accepting us for who we are, not what people see us to be. Many a times people look at me, Carl, and they see the beard, like, man, why didn't you shave that thing? A lot of people tell me, before, my beard used to be really long, Carl. It used to be very long. And I used to like it, not because I like a long beard, because I had an ability to really manage and maintain it. So it had a very beautiful curve to it. It was really long. I liked it. But people say, you know what? What kind of caveman are you? Where are you coming from? This is not India, Pakistan, and shave it. But when you go to watch the Dynasty and those guys' beards are double the size of mine, you're like, hey, man, those guys are good. Everything looks good. So it all went down to me saying to myself, why am I different? Why do people look at me different? When I was a kid, I was skinny. I kind of still am. But people used to always call me weird names. And I was one of the most famous names I had in public school was Bones. People used to call me Bones because I was a tree bones. And that's all I was. I was very skinny. I was underweight. I was I'll tell you a story here, Carl, and I don't want to get personally, but I was running from third base to home plate and a gust of wind threw me into the cage behind the home plate and I fractured my arm. There you go. I was so weak and I was so, you know, who I was. I was bones. But in our world today, those names have taken up a whole new identity. They're on social media. You know, a person can be bullied at school from 9 to 3 and go home and say, God, thanks, you know, I'm away from them. I might have to face them tomorrow, but I have some downtime to kind of recharge myself and go back and face that criticism. Here you leave school and on every social media outlet from Instagram to Snapchat to Facebook to Twitter, you got even a hashtag and people are making fun of you and people are putting you down. Can we change that, Carl? I wish we could, because one of the things I spoke about at the church on Thursday on our last week podcast in West Palm Beach, I talked about the Sharia event. And one of the members of the audience, when they brought up bullying, one of the Jewish members, God bless them all, he said, you know, we need more gun control. We need to stop bullying in the schools. This has been something the world has been talking about for so long, because bullying, especially here in the West, is becoming an epidemic. Kids are being bullied for no other reason than what? Because someone wants to bully them. It's just become like a pastime, a hobby. Call someone fat, call someone skinny, call someone dark, call someone hairy, call someone a baboon. Just keep on going on. There's a billion and one names that you could call someone. But that's something that unfortunately, you and I, Carl, as much as we want to, we can't stop it right now. Because my kids are going to school, your daughter is going to high school. I can just imagine how hard it is, because I grew up in this part of the world and I did go to school too. And I know what I faced. So the only way that you and I and all our listeners and their families and their friends can get a hold over this from becoming a personal crisis is, number one, accepting you for who you are, not what people see you to be. Yeah, I'm tall, I'm skinny, I'm hairy. You don't like this, is no good. Good for you. But I'm not here looking for your gratification. I'm not looking here for your seal of approval. I am who I am. This is one of the biggest steps we have to make, because what was his name, Carl, the guy who committed suicide last year? Robin Williams?
Yeah, and you know, that was another one to me that really took me by surprise, because, you know, he was, of all the good work that he did, and you even saw that you know, when he did the work with like Red Nose Day, which is the stand-up comic stuff, and he did Patch Adams, where he did an entire movie about taking care of kids through laughter and through you know, happiness, to have that transpire, it was like, wow. And, you know, the other thing, as I'm listening to you and we're talking about this mental health stuff, you know I've said to my wife in the past that you never know what demons someone's dealing with. And sometimes a simple conversation can help with that. But back to your question, yes, Robin Williams is who that was.
And Robin Williams is someone who was dear to my heart, because we grew up watching him, an innocent smile, you know, the older he got, the more charming he became. He brought so much joy and happiness to a lot of us. But the thing that number two, I'm leading this towards number two, is don't be deceived with the signs. Sometimes people who are suffering with mental health issues go out of their way to try to cover up this, to cover up their cries with smiles, to cover up their anguish and cry, and their you know, their pain with laughter. So Robin Williams became funnier, and he became more charismatic, and he became a household name. But he was doing this, fighting that inner battle. So sometimes you see a person who's always jolly, cracking jokes, making people laugh. Think about what that person must be going through at a time of solitude and loneliness. There's something they're battling, and that's why they're going out of their way. Remember, the human body is balanced. So long a person can scream and they can shout and they can cry and they can complain and they can laugh and they can joke and they could smile in front of you. Know that their gauge is good, like their body is kind of in that zone. But when they're going to extremes, now, of course, you see a person extremely depressed, extremely negative, always seeing things in the wrong way and always judging people differently. Of course, that's alarming, but in a similar fashion, when a person's constantly laughing and joking and trying to, you know, get out there and trying to be positive, know they're doing that because there's something internal. It's a demon that they're fighting. And that's, I want to call it a demon because it's trying to consume them. And the fact that it can consume a person, you can't see it. The reason I call it demon, Carl, is you can't see it. You can't see that depression. You can't see that anguish and pain. There's no body to it. If we told 100 kids to write down what pain looked like, I could guarantee you, you're going to have 100 different pictures. Some may make a depiction of how hurt is inflicted or what hurtful experience they had, but hurt, its image, no one knows it. So it's a demon that kind of creeps up on them, and they're always trying to get ahead of the game by laughing, joking, smiling. And thing is, for you and I, let's never misjudge those signs and know that those signs are an alarm, and we need to get to the person on a personal level. And that's what takes me to number three, and that is have the courage to reach out. And when you do reach out, make sure you reach out to someone who will listen. Carl, the problem, as you know, we talk about the cultural dynamics. Remember, one of the key reasons I agreed to this title of Raw Islam that you and I devised was because there are so many cultural components and there's so much ignorance in accompanying that cultural components that make us say, do, believe, assume, and pass judgment in a way that is so unprofessional. You know, culture has ruined Islam. Islam has not ruined culture. In a similar fashion, our negative, our ignorance, let me say this again, our ignorance of certain issues has led up to draw these conclusions which are misconstrued, which are wrong. For example, you go to a spiritual leader or you go to someone and say, look, I've got depression. Oh, you're not praying properly. Go pray properly. Maybe you're not in ablution all the time. Make sure your ablution is done. Oh, maybe you haven't given charity enough, or maybe you haven't prayed to God. Listen, that's also a part, but that's not the answer at this time. You know, an amazing story that baffles me is that we don't have the ability to accept and embrace a person for who they are and then help them. We want to kind of tell them and, you know, make them fall into that category. A man came at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to his mosque. Remember, this was his dream. This was his project. He came to Medina. He purchased this land from two orphans and he built this mosque in 7 months and seven and a bit. And now his mosque is open. It's functional. It's your dream thing. And a guy walks in and he pees. Walks in, he pulls his pants down and he pees. And so the companion's like, man, what are you doing? You're doing something wrong. That's our first instinct. What are you doing wrong? Why are you depressed? Maybe you're hanging around with the wrong people. Maybe you're listening to the wrong stuff. Maybe you're not studying enough. Maybe you're not praying enough. No, the Prophet said to him, stop. The guy has started urinating. Let him finish. It's a natural thing now. By stopping him halfway, you're going to harm him more. The damage is done. Let him finish. Then he told the person, go get me some water. The buckets of water were brought. And according to the narration I remember, I think it's that he washed it down and he cleansed it. So number one is we have to embrace a situation. We have to learn. If someone's coming to you for mental health issues and you as a parent, you as an elder, you as a guide or a mentor, or you as a big brother or sister don't know anything, embrace them. That's the best thing you could do because 2/3 of the job is complete. You've embraced them. You've hugged them. You've understood them. You let them cry. You let them explain themselves. And number two, then you direct them towards it, not by telling them, well, there's a crisis line that Carl's put up, go call that line. Number two is you do it with them. As I said, he said, bring the water. Someone brought the water. He washed it down. And then number three, Become their ally. Become their friend. Become their helper. Become their shadow. Help them through this thing. The Prophet, peace be upon him, then said to him, you know, mosques aren't for these places. When you want to do such thing, you go outside and do it. So help a person for the sake of God. This is my cry to everyone today. We need to start helping each other. Let's not depend on good coverage that's going to be out there in 2020, that everyone's going to have perfect health coverage. I don't care health coverage or not. If there is no way of addressing the issue, having the greatest health insurance is irrelevant, because people who have the best health insurance are too committing suicide, are also taking antidepressants, are also living each day as if it's their last because they don't want to live anymore. So having coverage isn't the story. The story is addressing it. So number one was accepting you for who you are, not what people want you to be. Because look at this. Many people idolized him as a singer. They thought he had it all. He had fame. He had talent. He had money. He had a household name, but he committed suicide. So don't try to aspire to be someone else in life. Don't try to be a Selena Gomez or a Britney Spears. I talk about Britney Spears a lot. Why? Because when I was growing up, she was the first ever young female artist out there that, you know, broke the taboo of the music industry, and she became extremely famous. But again, she's a human being. You're a human being. She eats food and goes to sleep. You eat food and you too sleep. We all have our own human factors. Don't let these smoke screens make you feel as if that person's who you want to be. Be yourself. Number two, gauge people's alarm signs by when they are extremely happy or extremely depressed. There's something that they're truly hiding within themselves. And if they come to you, try to relate to them and assist them. Don't try to brush them off, because you may be the last person and the first person that they will ever go to before they do something very bad.
And this episode took a very different turn, because this was not the conversation we had planned this evening, and I just wanted to soapbox and do a little PSA, but it's everything. You're absolutely right. It's you don't know who's going to be. You may be the first and you may be the last, but listen and engage and be there. That's really super important. Because we don't know. And I think, you know, over the last year with Robin Williams and Chris Cornell and today this guy, I think that really is one of the things, is that you don't know what demons people are battling. You don't know. And that's why it is important to understand. And it is important to engage. And it is important to make sure that we talk to each other like human beings, and that we support each other as much as we can. And I apologize for derailing the conversation this evening, but this has been really good.
Well, you know, I want to end with a few points. Number one is our teaching in Islam is treat people in a manner that you would like to be treated. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, treat people according to their level. People are coming to us in different scenarios, with different circumstances, from different angles of approach, from age, understanding, depth of knowledge, and whatever the case may be. Treat people according to their level. Don't try to feel that until they don't come to my level, they're not worthy of my time. They're not worthy of my attention. They're not worthy of being a part of my life. No, treat people in a manner that you would like to be treated, and treat them according to their situation and condition. Number two, Raw Islam is just a podcast. We're two guys who have lives and families, and we put our time and schedule aside for an hour every week. And Carl does multiple hours behind the scene to make sure that Raw Islam is getting out there and the message is clear and concise. But
you're going to give away my secrets.
We are going to say here today, and I know Carl's not going to object, any person that's listening, that they themselves or someone they know is suffering from mental health issues, I'm putting together a database with my friend right now after we finish here. And I'm going to call him and I'm going to make sure that we have the resources lined up. So if you send us an email, we promise we're not going to talk about you with your name and your case on air. We're going to try to help you by getting you to the people close by where you live that can help you. I'm not promising we're going to make magic happen and we're going to solve every case, but we are here to tell you we are with you. We are all in this together as human beings, and I cannot expect to have a perfect life and a wholesome life when people around me are suffering. That is not a life of a human being. A human being's life, a true human being's life, is one that helps others and empowers and assists others and shares with others and tries to grieve with others and share joys and laughters with others. So we want to be that person. We want to be that outlet for you. Please do reach out to us. It's bringing back so many things. Over the weekend, I met with a mother and she's crying and her son is going out of control and there's so much happening. And you're like, you don't know what you can do. It's a tough thing, Carl. It's really tough. And I always believe that a cry is made from different ways. Some may, you know, demonstrate that cry with tears from their eyes. Others will demonstrate that cry with their demeanor and their words and their actions, which may not reflect who they are. So never judge anyone. You know, don't judge anyone out there. Sympathize with everyone. Don't ostracize them and their image, and don't try to put them down. And hopefully, you know, I finish with this one inspiration from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When we help a person on this earth, God will help us in this world and in the next life. So that shouldn't be the reason why you do it, but that should be enough of encouragement to push you in the direction to help someone else. Carl, I really thank you for this. I think this was so needed. And I hope that we can continue having discussions along the lines of this, because our goal is not just to talk, but is to provide thoughts and opinions, to hear your ideas and hear your questions and concerns, and ultimately through it all, empower you and empower ourselves to get through life in the world that we live in today.
So I just want to say, because I know you won't see this until later, but Imam Azhar said that if you know someone that needs help, he is putting together a database. And it took me a hot second because I had to type and get everything right. But the email address is up on the screen right now. If you're watching this on Facebook Live at some point, whether it's a replay or it's the real thing or whatever, and hello to those of us that are joining us online. Please say hi online. We'd love to hear from you because we're here for the comments. But I've gone ahead and thrown up the email address. So if you want to reach out to him because you know somebody that is in need, there's the email address. Feel free to ping us and we will make sure that he gets that information, because that is why we're here. It's... You know, you're welcome for having this conversation, but this is a difficult thing for me, and it's not because of any one thing. I mean, because I have lost family members to suicide, and I have, being a veteran, I struggle with a lot of things in life. But I found out, I guess it was late last year, I found out that one of the guys that I served with actually had PTSD, and he didn't make it, and it ended up costing him his life at the end of the day. And that was really super sad to me, because, you know, again, young kid, military veteran, honorable discharge, full life ahead of him, and that was what ended up happening. And that was rough to me. But and like I said, I've lost family members too. So it is important to talk to people, and it is important to get the information out there. And Imam Azhar has extended the invitation. And now, as you can see, and I'll try to do this on the Mac. Here we go. email address is right there, so feel free to drop us a line and I'll make sure he gets that information. I guess I will throw it back to you, and I'm going to go ahead and apologize because for those of you that are watching this on Facebook, there is a hiccup and that email address is just about to go away. But Imam Mazhar, closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts, Carl, is everyone in life is seeking solutions. And I could tell you one thing right now. For everything out there, there is not a solution. Every one of our problems in life, if we believe that there is going to be a solution that will remove this problem, then we are deceiving ourselves. The first thing we have to agree upon, for everything in life, there is not a solution. That doesn't mean that we have to give up. Suicide has never been a solution for anything. It's rather caused more problems after its occurrence because many people suffer the pain of a person's loss. So Islam teaches us, and that's one thing in faith I always talked about when I was a preacher and an imam, was that Islam is not coming to solve all your problems and grant you all health and make you all rich and to extend your life 100 years. Islam may make your life difficult, but it's not to strain you, but to let you know it's not in seeking the solution that the answer lies. It's in embracing the predicament and the trial that the solution is there for you. That's where the power is. You know, I know we talked about this once, and I'll say it once more because it's relevant here. A lady came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and she said, I have a problem. When I have these epileptic seizures, I go in a state of mind that I don't know what's happening, and I become naked. You know, my body is jumping up and down, and I'm tearing my clothes off. And ultimately, when I come back to my senses, I'm naked. So she said, could you pray that I stop this? All of us want a prayer or a solution or a potion to stop something. And many of us want the same, to start something. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he could have prayed just like Jesus prayed, just like Moses prayed, just like Abraham prayed. They all are people of God. They all could have prayed and made things happen. But it wasn't in telling humanity and the rest of us that it's because of my prayers I'll solve your problems. But it was in enduring something for the sake of the bigger picture that you need to continue forward. And don't make this the hiccup that stops your life. So he said, if you want, I could pray to Allah and your seizures will stop. But if you want, you can remain patient and you'll get paradise. Now, I know this is a whole new discussion because it goes into the topic of faith and spirituality. But look what she said then. She thought about it. She said, okay, fine. Pray to Allah that I don't expose myself when I have these seizures. I.e., he told me a solution for every problem won't be a prayer or to solve it. Because once this stops, there may be another problem that you will see. Realistically, we all have a million problems in our life, but we only see 2 and 3. And because of the 2 or 3 that we see, we overshadow the other ones. But as soon as we address those 2 or 3, the other ones will start coming out of the woodworks. It's always going to happen. So she said, okay, fine. Ask Allah that I don't expose myself. So he prayed to Allah that whenever she has her seizures, that she doesn't expose herself. What's the point to take home here? Solution is not found for every problem in our life. And there never will be a solution for everything. And the solution of suicide has never been a solution. So stop considering it to be a solution. Please reach out and talk. And to all our listeners who want to talk, reach out to us. We will listen. And if someone comes to you to talk, please listen. You know, you could watch your show again. You could watch the highlights of a game. You could miss an event with friends and catch up with them next week. But a person's life, which is on the edge, don't let them go and brush them off or shun them. I hope that we can be instrumental in helping making things happen. And I hope that we can make our world a better place.
Inshallah. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm gonna apologize to Imam Azhar for hijacking the topic tonight. It was not my intent. My intent was to just soapbox for a minute, throw that little, where'd it go, right there, throw that graphic up just for a second, and then move on to our planned topic, which I guess will be next week now. But apparently this was a very important topic. To both of us. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I want to thank all of those that joined us online this evening. This episode will live online for a little while. So, you know, really, I cannot stress this enough. If you have made it this far into the episode and you are all the way at the closing of the episode, given the topic and given the way we address it, click that share button. You don't know who's going to see this and who needs to see this. So make sure tonight of all nights, you click that share button. So where was I? Oh, yes. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you to Imam Azhar for taking time out of his day to join us. And thank you for those of you that joined us online. We had a pretty full house tonight at one point, so it was really nice to see that. Until next week here, and you can always find us on the Venn Network Facebook page. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, we don't want to be biased here. We will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find them oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.